everyone. My name is Ayla, and I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Ayla.
Never had a legal drink. I had the opportunity to speak on this very same panel at a UCPAW conference a couple of years ago. And it's really interesting to me how many young people there are in the program today. When I first came into the program, there were no young people. There was like maybe one or two. So it's pretty amazing to be part of this experience. I was not like Gibson. I kind of had a rough childhood. We moved around a lot. My mom was a single mom. And there was alcohol and drugs all the time, everywhere. I lived in a violent household. And we bounced back and forth from Utah and Idaho, depending on what was going on. And we finally settled down here in Utah when I was like 8. And it was really interesting because my brother started to do his little rebellious thing, and I was all anti-drugs, anti-alcohol, cigarettes will kill you kind of thing. I remember my mom, it was the 4th of July, I think, my mom gave me a fuzzy navel, and she told me to share it with my brother. And I remember drinking half of it and thinking I wanted the other half because my stomach was warm and I felt really good and it tasted really nice. And, that was my first experience that I can remember of alcohol. And it just kind of slowly progressed from there. I was like 10 years old at the time. And it just slowly progressed to Boone's Farm wine, to smoking cigarettes that we stole from 7-Eleven down by the river that I never inhaled, to harder things. I remember a dear friend of mine when I was about 11 years old committed suicide. And I remember going home and telling my mom, and my mom looked at me and she said, "You're just gonna have to get over it." And I didn't know what that meant. And me, with my awesome background and watching what people in my family do, my coping mechanism was vodka. And I stole a bottle of vodka from my mom and spent the weekend at my friend's house, my best friend's house at the time. And I just got wasted. I went to the funeral and I was wasted, and I was in junior high barely at the time, and I remember taking water bottles full of vodka to school, and that's not normal behavior for a child at all. And it just slowly progressed from there. My behaviors and my actions and the things that I was doing attracted me to a group of people that did the same things. And I found new friends, and I got introduced to pot, which I thought was the greatest thing ever. And I thought that everything was just normal. That's just what you did. That's what we did in my family. We fought, we yelled. We fought, we yelled. We drank, we used. And when I was about 13 years old, I was at my best friend's house, and I was sexually assaulted by her stepbrother. And that occurred over and over again for the course of about 9 months. And my using and my drinking progressed. I didn't know how to cope. I didn't know who to talk to. She knew because she was going through the same thing. And it just kept going on and on. And I remember when I was about 14 years old, she had told her mother, and her mother got on the phone with me and told me that if I didn't tell my mother, she was going to do it for me. And so I went through the court process, and I went through the doctors, and I went through the attorneys, and I went through people asking me really embarrassing questions. And I went through getting to that point where I couldn't function without something in my body. I really liked downers. That was my thing. Anything that kept me calm, anything that kept me mellow, anything that kept me numb. And I couldn't be around people. I couldn't function. I couldn't go to school. When I did, I didn't want to be there, so I'd come home. And it was like that for a while. And I remember when everything was said and done with the courts, and a friend of mine came over with a bottle of Wild Turkey and left me there alone to finish off the bottle. And I remember running a bath and trying to commit suicide. And it didn't work. And the next day I went over to my dad's house. My dad really wasn't a big part of my life. He's an alcoholic. And for like the last 4 years, he had lived down the street from me, but I rarely saw him. He would come over when he was really drunk or he needed a place to hide or whatever. And I went to his house and I told him what was going on, and I told him that I needed help and I didn't know what to do. And he had gotten his third DUI the night before. And so he offered to take me to an AA meeting. He had been through the program before and had a few years but wasn't doing the footwork. And ended up relapsing. And this was shortly after I turned 15 years old, and he took me to a Saturday night speakers meeting. It's an old-timer speakers meeting at the Alano Club, and I heard this woman share her story. And God bless her heart, she isn't with us anymore. But she shared about these tragedies that went on in her life and the things that happened to her that were absolutely terrible, and she was standing out there in front of a room full of people making jokes about these tragedies, and the people that were around there were smiling and they were happy, and I wanted that. I wanted to feel what you guys looked like on the outside. I was miserable. I was in a lot of pain and I didn't know what to do. And so I kept coming back, and like I said, I was the only like young person. There was maybe somebody was like 19 or 20, I think. But pretty much everyone was a lot older. And I was scared, and I didn't know how to talk to people, and I didn't know how to get a sponsor, and I didn't know anything. I just knew that I wanted to die. But I didn't have the guts to do it. And I kept coming back, and for about 2 weeks, I would go to as many meetings as I could. And I remember there was this old gentleman. He used to walk with his cane, and he had all these necklaces and this totally awesome black, like, curly 80s hair. He came up to me after a meeting one day, and he said, "You're finally smiling." And in that moment, I realized that I was feeling again, really feeling again. Kind of stepping back a little bit at about 7 days sober, you know, when you're like in the roller coaster and you love everybody and then you want to kill everybody and then you know how it goes. You're happy, you're angry. I was standing out in my front yard talking with my best friend, one of my best friends, who had actually been a big part of me getting sober. And I remember standing there feeling the wind blow on my skin and through my hair. And I started crying because I hadn't felt that in so long, because I'd been so tuned out and so shut down. That was just a beautiful thing for me. And my home group at the time was this Wednesday night bikers meeting, and it was really loud and rowdy. It's like this conference, but like times 10, because they slammed on the tables and shouted and hooted and hollered, and birthdays sounded like shit. Pardon my language. That was my home group. And I found a woman that I was scared of, that I was intimidated by, but she had what I wanted. She walked with purpose, and she walked with grace, and she walked with dignity, and she had a smile on her face. And I was so scared of her, and I asked her to be my sponsor, and she said, "Are you willing to do what it takes? Are you willing to go to any lengths?" And I said, "Yes." Of course, I didn't know what that meant. She said, "Okay." And she would pick me up And we would go to the Alano Club, or we would go to her house and we would do step work, and she would explain things to me in the book that I really didn't understand. And she would encourage me to go to meetings. And it was really amazing because her story was very similar to mine, and her pain was very similar to mine. And I could tell her things that I was embarrassed to tell other people. And I remember she tricked me into my four step. She told me to write down all the people that I was mad at. And so I did. And then we went through all of that, and we found my part in every situation of my resentments with those people. And she made me realize that I wasn't a victim. I was a survivor, and I didn't need to live a victim's life anymore. She took me through the whole God process, and I really struggled with that for a very long time because I thought that if there was a God, he wouldn't have done the things that he did to me. And the truth is that God didn't do those things to me. I did those things to me by the choices that I made. And she helped me with that. She helped me design something of my own image that I could pray to and rely on, even if I didn't really know what it was. I remember when I first got sober, I had like two pages. And on one side, it's what my God wasn't and what my God wasn't. And it was all this stuff. And I needed that at the time. I needed all these things to describe it for me. Today, that's a little bit different. Today, for me, it's just unconditional love. My higher power is just unconditional love. I can be the biggest screw-up in the world, but my higher power has my back no matter what. You know, I'm really grateful. I've been through a relapse. I've picked up dirty chips. I picked up a two-year chip high at a very packed Sunday meeting at the Alano Club. And I turned around and I stood up in my biker meeting. And I was really scared, and I gave that chip back and picked up a nine-month chip and got honest with the people around me. And it really blew my mind. That was really a pivotal moment for me because I remember doing that, and I remember nobody was angry with me and nobody shunned me. And I remember when I told my sponsor, she told me that she was proud of me and that she loved me. And I knew I was home. This is my family. People that I don't know, people that I've known for years, this is my home. This is where I come when I need love, when I need to give love, when I need to be of service. This is the kind of love that I never had growing up. It's unconditional. It's that altruistic movement. You know, my sobriety date is May 28th of 2006. I just picked up an eight-year chip, and I'm grateful. I'm grateful every day for that. I'm never going to lie and say that it's always easy, and that I don't think about drinking and that I don't think about using, because it does cross my mind. But what's really amazing today is that I have that support group and I have those tools and that foundation where I don't have to do that if I just do what I need to do. So thanks, guys.